Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctico.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. We get around to just about everything here around our kitchen table. And we come to you from the studios of KHOI Community Radio in Ames, Iowa, the center of everything. Yes, we do. I want to mention that KHOI, this fine community radio station, is moving to new digs soon. Thanks to all of you who make this sort of thing possible, because we actually, this organization actually purchased a facility that will be our brand new home, and a home it will be, yes, because it is a house. It is a house just not too far from downtown, just north of downtown Ames. And it will be so nice to be in a new place. We'll be in the new place soon. Let you know. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us today. So, Burr, Donna, Burr.
Finally, you know, I mean, we were cruising with a very long autumn, I
Are
guess.
We spoiled or what?
Yeah.
I think we have a little taste of winter now. No snow yet, although a few snowflakes. But no snow here in central Iowa. But winter weather has us thinking of warming and comforting foods and also thinking, well, where did I put my mittens? I don't know. We have to look up those warm mittens and sweaters this time of year. Today on the Donalana Kitchen, Donna shares some soup wisdom. Broths and blenders, stock pots and stock stews, noodles, vegetables, milk-based soup, cream-based soups, herbs and spices. And I've got a little short story to share about holiday giving. So, soups, Donna, soups. Take it away.
Well, tis the season, you know. I mean, we're not, you know, we are all making cookies and candies and thinking about holiday treats and all of that sort of thing. But man does not live by candy alone.
Oh, shucks.
Or cookies.
Oh,
I mean,
shucks.
You know, there is that tendency this time of year. So, soups are, you know, the sustenance, bread and soup is a meal in many, many, many parts of the world. And, of course, we have plenty of bread options here in Ames. So the soup thing, I just wanted to talk today about easy, quick, fast, you know, the basics of soup that are not too fussy so you can keep on making the cookies and the other things and the mince pies and all of that sort of thing. But Lana came up with a good soup recipe that you made this week. Do tell.
Oh, I'll start with this one. I usually don't even go for a recipe for soup because soup is kind of a,
like, oh, look in the fridge.
Yeah,
make it up. What's
and,
it going to
yeah.
be? Yeah.
And usually my soup starts with saute some garlic and onions and then kind of look what else you've got. But anyway, I got a book a long time ago called Nina Simmons' Asian Noodles, Deliciously Simple Dishes to Twirl, Slurp, and Savor. Oh, my goodness. But I like the taste combinations in here because it's something that these taste combinations are not something I grew up with here in the Midwest. You know?
No, they're exotic.
It's always
exotic,
but
yes.
Now, for a cold weather soup, this is my go-to. It's called cinnamon beef noodles. Perfect thing if you feel a cold or a flu or just a chill coming on. Noodles topped with spinach or other greens and tender pieces of beef. Now, what makes this is it's infused with garlic, ginger, anise, and cinnamon. Now, yeah, that doesn't really seem like something you'd have in soup, but it is. It is.
And chili paste.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, the chili paste helps it so much. You have a very fragrant broth. The broth I always make the same way, but later you add the noodles and spinach and stuff later, but you can add other things besides, because I had other vegetables to add. I will read you the chili cinnamon seasonings for this and kind of walk you through this because it just makes me feel warm all over. You Saute scallions, garlic, ginger, hot chili paste in a little bit of oil, and then add 2 cinnamon sticks and a teaspoon of aniseed, huh? Now, this is wonderfully fragrant, and you can come and go with the chili paste as you like, but I sort of like a little bit of kick, so 1.5 teaspoons of hot chili paste. Be prepared, but it's really, really good. And then, after that is stirred just a little bit, you sauté the beef in this, and then add 8.5 cups water, 1/2 cup of soy sauce, and cook that a while. The beef, 2 pounds of chuck or beef stew meat, cut into 1.5-inch cubes. And all of this stuff simmers for a while, and boy, do things smell good in your kitchen. And then because this is a Asian sort of way of doing things, you cook the 1/2-pound flat Chinese wheat flour noodles, udon or other flat noodles.
Separately. Right.
Now, I've cheated, and sometimes I just throw. Matter of fact, last time I made this
last
night.
Well, you throw them in the pot, but at the end. Because you don't want to cook those noodles for hours and hours. No.
So I did not have any udon noodles. So to kind of do the Midwest and Asian fusion, I grabbed a package of Amish noodles from Kelowna.
Right. Like an egg noodle.
Something that's got a little oomph to it.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. And then that either goes in on the end or you cook it separately and combine all of stuff. And then actually they combine put the spinach in with the cooked noodles.
Oh, at the very end.
At the very end, and let the hot broth, as you ladle the hot broth on top of everything, anyway.
And I bet the scallions go at the end, too.
Yes, scallions go at the end, yes. And, oh, it's so good. Minced scallions on the top to make it look pretty, of course. But anyway, that is a really warming dish. And the idea of having cinnamon, anise, ginger, and garlic, and some hot pepper sauce.
Well, I want to approach soups as a in one of my non-recipe modes. Anti-recipe things, because soup can, you know, there must be hundreds of millions of quote recipes for soups, but you know the basic things are it's liquid, it's hot, and it contains every kind of nutritional element you need. Could be the broth, the meat, the carbs, and the vegetables, of course. So, you know, there are so many methodologies, but soups, they kind of break down into certain categories. So we'll go through them a little bit. The two methodologies are, of course, the crock pot for longer cooking things, you know, like if you're going to have beans in it or if you're making your stock or whatever, you can use a crock pot. Or, like I did last night, I did, it's venison hunting season again, so which means I have some deer bits left from last year that I thought, okay, time to clean the freezer out and make room for the new deer that probably will come. So I got up my turkey roaster. Big. I wanted a big, bigger than a crock pot, right? And put in, I had a rib cage and a whole spinal column kind of chopped up. So all I did for that was I set it out on the kitchen table, filled the turkey roaster up, you know. Actually, we had to saw the bones small enough to make sure they would fit into the turkey roaster.
I was going to mention that. If you do have a bone, as in, you know, a leg or something,
big,
it probably is good to saw that in half because the good stuff is inside.
Well, yes, especially with leg bones for either beef or because you want to cook the stock so that the marrow kind of melts into the stock, because that's what gives it the extra umami and the extra nutrition, frankly. So we used Lana's dad's bone saw last year, and I had them already cut to fit. So all I did was get them out, put them into the turkey roaster, cover it with water, I didn't put in a lot of seasonings, and I do this with all my stocks. I just put in probably a dozen bay leaves.
No salt and pepper.
No, you'd never salt your stock because as it boils down, it could get too salty.
Ah.
I mean, I could have put pepper in, but I just put bay leaves in. And then the other thing you have to do when you're making stocks, especially of big boned animals, is a little bit of acidulation. So I just threw in a little bit of vinegar. Now, you don't want enough vinegar that it tastes like vinegar. So let's say in the turkey roaster, which is a few gallons, right?
Mm-hmm.
I probably put maybe a tablespoon per gallon of vinegar.
Why vinegar?
Well, because the acid, you could also use wine, but the acid extracts the minerals from the bones and you know, makes it more nutritious. So I boiled that for 24 hours.
24 hours? Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can really keep going. I just plugged it in and forgot about it, basically. You check once in a while and make sure it's got enough water. So now I have a good batch of stock. Now, stock is, of course, the basis for many, 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 many soups. And if you have stock, I almost always make chicken stock by, you know, saving the bones. Chicken stock, same thing. I don't boil it nearly as long. Probably chicken stock 3 or 4 hours maximum. You can get a good rich stock in 2 hours. So starting with a base of stock is always an excellent idea. It adds a lot of flavors. Now, I did a recipe the other night, which I read somewhere, and I thought, oh, this sounds kind of interesting. It's basically what the Italians would call pasta in brodo, which means pasta in broth. Now, this recipe, unlike most recipes where you have to cook the noodles separately, you actually cook the noodles in the stock. And, of course, that made it not very soupy. But the noodles were delicious because the water that goes into the noodles was the chicken stock. So this particular recipe was garlic, a lot of garlic. So something like 6 cloves of garlic sliced thin. You fry them up and then you add 4 cups of chicken stock. Then the nice thing was capers.
Wow.
So you put in...
I never know what to do with capers.
Well, it really, really was delicious. So then you put in 3 tablespoons of capers and some of the brine from the caper jar. This was wet capers. And thyme.
Huh.
Now, I had a little trick.
Ah.
This fall, when we were pulling all the last of the herbs out of the garden, I had a big clump of lemon thyme. So I actually did this preservation method where you pick off all those little thyme leaves, right? And you put them in a jar with flaky sea salt.
Ha!
And so...
I remember that show.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And so I'm still using that fresh thyme, and it was delicious.
Cool.
So that was the salt in the thing is the fresh thyme.
Oh, I have to remember that. Salt.
The salt is the preservative for the thyme, so that becomes the salt in your dish. So basically, you've cooked the capers, the thyme, and the chicken stock, and then you throw the noodles in, and that's the very last thing you do. And you have to stir them a lot because, you know, with that small amount of liquid, because you're not going to pour any of the liquid off like you do when you're cooking the noodles, they can clump together.
Mm.
So, but it did come out to be really, really delicious. Ooh. So, but that is another good soup, is to just cook the pasta. And normally you would cook it separately and then put it into your soup base.
Seems simple.
Pasta in broth is a, you know, then throw in the vegetables or the whatever you want. Here's the thing. What's in the fridge?
Yeah.
Spinach is great. Things that cook fast. Things that kale, if you want to cook it longer.
Usually a carrot or a...
Carrots are good, always for a little bit of color.
Yes, yeah. And celery always is good.
That's right.
I have another stock question because I make stock too, and either chicken or venison or whatever I have. Sometimes, depending on what you're cooking, a lot of fat comes to the top. What does one just kind of warm that up and mix it all in, or is it good to take the fat off?
I would say it depends on the quality of the animal that you're using. For example, if I've got a good organic chicken, which you, of course, pay extra for, I save that fat because it's a good cooking and baking fat. And it's
put it in the soup or save it as
depends
a...
Depends on how fatty it is. You may use some of it for something else.
Because you may get a couple tablespoons off the top. There may be kind of, half an inch.
Well, there are two ways of getting the fat off. The easy one is to chill the whole thing, and this time of year you just set it on the back porch.
Good
the
idea.
Fat rises to the top, and you just... pull it off with a spoon. The other thing, and this is not an expensive kitchen item, but very useful, is it's called a fat separator.
Ah.
So really what it is mine is like probably a quart size. It looks kind of like a pitcher, but it's plastic. But the spout for the pitcher is down low in it. So the fat rises to the top, and then you're pouring off all of the liquid that is below the fat till you get to the level where it's only fat. So it's a separator. So either way, that way you don't have to wait till it's completely cold.
Good idea.
So those two ways you can separate the fat from you don't probably want all of that fat.
Right. However, chicken fat especially is not bad as kind of to fry things in.
Yeah,
so there you
exactly.
Go.
Like
there
you if go. You were if you were going to make the pasta and brodo thing, mm-hmm. I started with olive oil because mm-hmm. I didn't have any good chicken fat, but you fry the garlic cloves first. Okay, so those are broth-based soups. Now, another really simple thing is the milk or cream soups, which also can have broth in them.
Okay.
If you have plenty, plenty of broth, because the broth is added nutrition. When you're making broth, you are, from the bones, you're getting all these minerals released, and, these are fortifying, let's say, which is why there's the old thing about how chicken soup is good for a cold, blah, blah, blah.
It's
because
true.
It has so much nutrition in it. I did want to mention also, if you want to make a beef stock, Surrey City Locker is a really good source of bones. They have let's say it's a very reasonable price because, when you buy the bones for the stock, if you pay $5 for a bone, that's ridiculous. It's just not, unless you have money to burn for something. But so it is for me a good source of those kinds of products.
Also, it's kind of like, as you mentioned, it's good to know where these bones have been, and a reputable butcher, a reputable locker that deals with good, healthy animals helps a lot.
Yeah, well, if you get it at the Surrey City Locker, you'll know at least that it was raised here in Iowa. Now, some of it's grass-fed, some of it's corn-fed, whatever, but he can at least tell you the farmer that's coming from. So, anyway, for the milk or cream-based, well, there are several things you can. My favorite cream-based thing, I actually use a lot of potatoes.
Mm.
Because you can cook the potatoes in stock, you can cook them in milk, you can cook them in water, and you save the cooking liquid. And that's what you're going to puree, because the creaminess of the soup can come from milk and potatoes or milk and... Now, here's the trick I read yesterday that I have yet to try. It said for lighter soups, because I was thinking of potatoes, for example, cauliflower potato soup, pureed, cooked in milk with a little cream or butter added, and or stock, whatever. That's simple. You cook the potatoes and onion and the cauliflower, and then in the water that you've cooked it in, here you puree it. But I read for a lighter puree, instead of using potatoes, to use a little bit of cooked rice, or they even mentioned putting a rice cake in as a thickener. Because, to make it creamy, you want it to have a little body to it. So I thought, that's a quick trick for some, for a quick
cake.
Soup. So anyway, in terms of pureeing, I forever use the blender. But here's the thing, when you use the blender and you're pouring something hot in it, it does kind of explode.
Be careful.
When you turn it on, you have to either hold your hand on the top or else it will blow the top off. So my one of my new, as in the last 5 years, probably, new kitchen equipment pieces is the immersion blender.
I like those. Now you can make a big mess with those, Donna, because I have. I mean, you can like decide you're done and pull it out, and it goes.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah. This immersion blender thing, though, I love it because you actually can put it right in the pot, mm-hmm. which means you don't have to clean the blender out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one pot cooking. But it's true. Like for the pumpkin pies that mm-hmm. I was making uh-huh. this year when I was pureeing the pumpkin, three times I was like not paying attention and I lifted it too high and boom, all over the backstop in the kitchen. Then I clean it up, and then I did it again. So, you know, and pumpkin is, of course, orange, so you can see it everywhere, right?
Good.
So, anyway, for the milk or cream-based things, it's something that you do puree with a blender. So, you know, a simple, that cauliflower soup that I mentioned is a quick way. Or you could do the same thing with broccoli and potato and onion and garlic, if you want. And then any of these things, you can also do flavor combinations. Like, if you wanted to go Asian, you could make an Asian cauliflower and potato soup, for example.
Put a little curry in it, perchance.
Yes, Indian. So for Asian things, I mean, East Asian things, you probably want a little tamari or soy sauce, definitely garlic. I always keep in the fridge a little jar of Thai the curry paste. There's a green one and a red one.
Oh, yeah.
Those are easy peasy, you know.
Oh, those
and
are
then,
good.
And then you could always put a little ginger in. And the trick is at the end, like you mentioned, always add some fresh chopped herbs and or scallions, like a little cilantro, if you have it, a little fresh basil, you know, as a garnish at the very end.
Yeah, something green and not green herbs. Christmas sprinkles, though. That is a different thing. Okay.
No, but herbs.
Herbs.
And that can make it go Asian. And then, of course, if you want to go Italian or French, you know, you've got, I put bay leaves in everything. I just do. But you've always got, but of course, you don't want to blend the bay leaves. If you're going to use the blender, you got to pull the bay leaves out.
Oh,
first,
yes,
right.
Those are hard little suckers.
Yeah.
You don't want to bite into those.
So you know, you've got marjoram, oregano, basil, thyme, all of those herbs that can really jump a soup up. And then you can. Now, one of my favorite quick tricks for exotic kind of quick, you know, just a single note is smoked paprika.
Ha!
For example, if I wanted to do, say, the cauliflower potato onion thing, which could also have a little garlic and, you know, throw in a little butter and milk, not too much. I mean, you could make it even vegan and not put the dairy in, because the potato will make it creamy. And squash is also, like either butternut, buttercup, or kabocha squashes also will make a really creamy base, and they are good for either Asian or more Mediterranean kinds of things.
Smoked paprika.
But the smoke,
I like paprika.
It's like a single note thing, but it gives it, you know, because of the smoky quality, it kind of gives it a little, oh, you think you're Middle Eastern kind of feeling to it. I mean, you know, you can always add cumin.
Oh, yeah.
To push it a little further. You know, this is the thing about, I just open the fridge and I say, oh, well, what vegetables need to be used up? Because when you put them in soup, they can be a little aged, you know, as long as they're not moldy or something like that. And you just kind of use what you have. Cabbage, there's lots of cabbage right now, which is also good in soups. And also, these are quick soups, too.
Mm, yeah.
Although lots of things can be done in the crock pot if you start with the beans and the garlic and just let it go and, you know, push the button and forget about it. The other thing that's good for soups is, I've been craving this. I'm going to have to do it probably. It's chicken and dumplings.
Ooh.
Or you take, you know, you take.
Hold your chicken and dumpling thought. I'm going to do a little break here while we catch our breath. And we'll come back to chicken and dumpling. Oh, that's how I love chicken and dumplings. This is KHOI Community Radio, and you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. are back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Oh, the start of winter, the start of the chili season, we are talking about soup. Donna was going to tell us about chicken and dumplings. Does that sound good or what?
Yeah, that always reminds me of my mother and my grandmother. But, you know, so and you can put dumplings on almost any soup, you know. So you've got your chicken soup cooked up however you want it, or your chicken stew if it's a little thicker. And basically all you're doing is making a biscuit dough. Mm-hmm. And then you when the soup is all cooked and ready, you know, and make sure you have plenty of liquid in it because the biscuits will suck up. It's like with cooking noodles, you know, they suck up some of the broth. So you just have your biscuit dough and you kind of plop individual, you know, good spoon size, like tablespoon plops onto the top of the pot until it's basically covered. Then you smack the lid on it and cook it until the biscuit dough is cooked.
They won't sink?
No, they stay on top.
They don't sink? Oh, no. Good. How long? What? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 20 minutes? What?
Ten depends on the size of the biscuit dough. Smaller glumps cook faster, uh-huh. Right? So, you know, kind of think 10 minutes,
okay,
or so, something
close
like
enough.
That. You know, and your biscuit dough is basically either butter and or lard, flour and water and or milk or buttermilk or something like, you know, whatever you use for a biscuit dough you know, that's a good hearty one.
Chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, and it could go on anything. I mean, technically you could do like a chili and then cook on top of it a biscuit dough that maybe had some cornmeal in it.
Uh-huh.
And a little oregano or so. You know, you can season that biscuit dough up too.
Huh. Chili. Oh, as you mentioned, let's go.
Beans.
Okay, Donna, have at it.
Lentil soup, yeah. You know, lentil soup, and what you mentioned, barley soup, all of these rich. Now, these can be done in the crock pot. That's anything grainy is really, really good in the crock pot because you just can kind of throw everything in. Always garlic, always onions. You know, depends on how you want to flavor it, but it's a put it in and forget about it. And the other thing I like to do sometimes is, for example, if I make a big batch of, let's say, cream of potato soup, all right? Just a basic old potato soup. One day you eat it with some fresh herbs chopped into it. The next day, then you can go with your smoked paprika, or, you can change the flavor, and with very little effort, if you make a nice big pot of it, you've got different foods for a few days.
Good idea. Speaking of making a nice big pot of it, what about freezing soups?
Depends on what's in them.
Okay. So you could, how about freezing that milk-based potato
soup? Milk-based things will freeze pretty well. The only things that don't freeze well are things that already have noodles in them. Because when the noodle or the dumplings, same thing, it will keep absorbing water as it's cooking. So it just kind of falls apart and gets really, really mushy.
So probably don't freeze things with noodles in it. Yeah, okay. But
other
things,
or you know, if you're making a big base, you can always freeze half of it before you put the noodles in, because then when you thaw it out, you heat it up, and then you add, you know, then you add the fresh noodles or the dumplings or whatever you're doing then. Now, remember, when you freeze liquids, they always expand.
Aha.
Yes. I personally have given up freezing them in glass because I have broken way too many jars.
Oh, yeah. Be careful with it. Yeah. It's easy to have little leftover Rubbermaid Tupperware. What would we be without Tupperware? The world is awash in that sort of thing. So those little containers are really nice for about the right size. But do leave room at the top. It is way too easy to forget that things expand.
Well, and we didn't mention rice either.
Oh, rice.
So, like, my favorite rice soup is the Greek. It's called avagomundo.
Ah.
So it's
avagomundo.
Something like that. Gomundo or something.
Okay.
It's basically a chicken broth with rice cooked into it, or else rice added to it, and then lemon. And then what else do I put in? Probably some oregano. You know, you want some herb base in there, and some certainly black pepper or something. It's not too spicy. And then you add the rice. And then at the end, when it's all hot, egg drop.
Egg drop.
Egg drop soup. And that can be in, you can use those in Asian soups, too. Of course, a lot of Chinese soups have egg drops. So the whole trick with the egg drop is you got to have your soup hot. You got to break the egg in a cup and kind of mix it up so that it's, you know, the white and the, you don't want it beaten hard, but you want the yolk broken and kind of dispersed lightly into the white. And then you get the soup really hot, and then you pour the egg in and you give it a swirl so it gets those long pieces, you know.
It's kind of like real gentle, delicate noodles.
And if you swirl it too much, you'll lose the consistency of the egg drop. But that's another thing that can be added. Oh, and then you've also, if you want to go Mexican, you can do like a chili and make a huevos rancheros.
Oh, right? Okay.
Which is another, it's soup-ish, right? It's not too wet, but it's basically you're taking your chili beef, you know, broth-based. I mean, you could, for huevos rancheros, you could do something as simple as actually taking a sort of, literally you could take a salsa, mix it with chicken stock, and have a little base like that.
Huh.
I'd throw in some onions maybe or things like that. And, of course, it's always good with beans. And then you, like the same thing, you heat it up, and then you break the whole eggs in top of it and slap the lid on so they steam.
Ha!
And there you've got huevos rancheros.
Yeah, see? I never think of it as
with
a
tortilla.
With a tortilla.
Yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
good. All these things
and beans.
Yeah.
Lots of beans can be, of course, cooked whole into soups. They can also be pureed. Like a white bean soup will thicken a soup.
Oh.
Very, very nicely. Almost any, I mean, sometimes even with like a black bean soup, I will take half of the beans and puree them. So it's really creamy and then you still have some whole beans in it.
Good idea.
You know.
So if you're making your beans from scratch, remember to soak them, and would you cook them before you start the soup? I mean, if you're starting beans from dry beans.
Well, first I would, you know, the night before, I would cover them with water and just leave them sit there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it depends on, because I find, personally, some beans are more digestible than others. You know, like, I think black beans, for me, are the most difficult to digest. And, of course, the smaller beans, like lentils, they're pretty easy to digest and do not require pre-soaking. Smaller beans, you really don't have to pre-soak. So that would be like split peas or the little yellow or white dal or, you know, any of the French lentils.
Mm-hmm.
Those
you
can just cook. Now, when I'm cooking, once I get them cooking, I often, well, the bay leaf goes in the pot, usually some garlic. And if I want, you know, the beans, if you're using your crock pot, you can kind of throw it all in at once. Or you can add some vegetables later. Now, other things that are good and mushy this time of year.
Mushy, yes.
And soups would be parsnips, rutabaga. All of those things can go in those cream soups with potato bases or with bean bases.
Mm-hmm.
Celery root gives a nice celery flavor.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are just fabulous in soup.
Huh.
And any kind of meat that you want to add, even if it's little bit. And this is the wonderful thing about soups. You really are eating less meat because mm-hmm. the meat is a flavor component of the broth or the soup, not necessarily. It's not like you need a 4-ounce hamburger on your plate or a 6-ounce mm-hmm. steak or something like that. Just a little bit for flavoring. So this is a good way of increasing your vegetable and legume consumption and reducing your meat consumption.
Yeah, you just soups. Need for flavor. Soups. Back to beans. You said you soak beans, especially hard-to-digest beans. Do you cook the beans in the soaking water or do you get rid
no.
of the soak? Okay.
I throw it. And if I'm really, if I'm doing like black beans, which I know are going to be a little tough to digest, meaning, you know, they produce flatulence, even though I love them, they don't love me. There are several things that I am not a scientist, so this is more like old wives' tales, but sometimes I will put the, you know, after I've soaked them and thrown the water away, then I will bring them to a boil in fresh water, and then I will throw the, just when it comes to a boil, I will throw that water out again. And then start a third time. There are also, apparently, there are herbs, there are two things that you can put in that, by reputation, let's say, make them more digestible. One is kombu, which is a flat seaweed. Which is...
kombu with a C? Oh, kombu with a K.
K, with K, a K.
Kombu, okay.
Yeah, it's a big flat seaweed, so you just can add a big piece of it. And it kind of breaks down into it, and you can leave that in and eat it. It adds a little more umami to the flavor. That's one thing you can cook with almost any bean, and doesn't even... doesn't add enough flavor that's detectable that it would distract from any direction that you would want to go in seasoning. So you can just leave it in there. And the other thing, this is particularly for Mexican food with beans, is epazote.
Ah, yes.
Which is well known. And it has a distinctive flavor.
Yes. I have grown that. It grows
here.
Yeah,
it grows really easily.
It grows here easily. It's a kind of a... It looks sort of like a little minty plant or a little oregano-ish plant. It grows like epazote.
And it dries really well.
It dries
too.
Beautifully. So you've got some on your counter. Throw it in with the beans. And really, truly, if you smell it just as epazote, you think, that smells just like old socks. It just does not smell very good at all. But you put a little bit with the beans.
It's kind of oregano-ish.
Yeah.
It's strong, but not terrible.
Mm-hmm. It's not something, oh boy, epazote. It is, put it with the beans. Actually,
well,
it's good with the
when
beans.
You're cooking it in with Mexican food, the flavor comes out quite nicely.
Yes, it's a very
nice
thing.
Very camphory flavor, they would say, basically.
That's probably better than old socks.
Yeah, okay. Right. I mean, my socks don't smell like camphor, but that would be an improvement, probably.
You mentioned old wives' tales.
Yeah.
I think in this case, it's good to have some wisdom from some old wives, because who does cooking better than the old wives in the kitchen? I like this.
We didn't even talk about stone soup.
Oh, it's stone soup. Yes, you can. And if you're thinking about... if you're thinking about the resilience of a community, if you're thinking about the making something from nothing, it's a wonderful children's book, and the author escapes me, but it's a story.
Well, because I think it's an old Russian or Eastern European tale,
European
so
story.
There are probably many versions of it. But, it's basically the soldiers come, and all the peasants are hiding, and they say, oh, no, we don't have any food. Nothing. We don't. And the soldiers go, well, you know, we really are starving. Let's make stone soup. And they go, well, what is stone soup? And the soldier goes, well, here, I'll show you. Build a fire, bring the kettle, put the water in, and I'll collect the stones. So he goes and he gets the stones, he puts them in the water to make the soup, and the peasants are looking at the water boiling with the rocks, and one of them goes, well, you know, I got a couple carrots.
Yeah.
I'll throw them in. And another one goes, well, I got an onion or two saved. Mm-hmm. And slowly they each bring something out to contribute, and the stone soup turns into a soup, right?
And
everybody eats it, the soldiers and the peasants.
It's a lovely story. It's a lovely story about cooperation and making something out of nothing, because we all have a little
we
something
all have
to
stuff,
give.
And especially in the, you know, pull out that bottom refrigerator drawer and go, oh, boy, well, this needs using up. Let's make a soup with it.
What a good idea. Yes, it is. This is KHOI, and this is your community radio. When you're listening to the Don Alana Kitchen, we have recipes here. We have archives here that you can access by going to khoifm.org. There's a Don Alana Kitchen page. Find out more about us and find out more about all the fine programs that happen on your community radio station. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about soup today, and we talked a little bit about stone soup, the idea of a community coming together to help when everybody was lacking something. By putting things together in one big pot, we can get great things done. I have a little story I'd like to read here, a little thought for the holiday season, a short reading here by the author Robert Fulghum. He was the author of All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And this is a little story about his growing up. There are people that practice charity all year long, and about Christmas time, we hear from them. They invite us to put a little money in the pot and help everybody out. So here is Robert Fulghum's story about the Salvation Army. Chinkle-dee-tink, chinkle-dee-tink, chinkle-dee-tinkle-dee-tinkle-dee-tink. The sound from a street corner in Waco, Texas, late afternoon on a windy December day in 1944. Just in front of the Woolworth's Five and Dime, a tall, slender, middle-aged man in a suit, tie, overcoat, and Stetson hat stands by a red steel tripod from which hangs a black iron soup kettle. An 8-year-old kid, bundled up snugly against the colds with him, is working a little rhythm with a small bell. It's a privilege for the child to ring the bell first time. An important promotion. For in previous years at this same post, it's been the prerogative of man. Admonished not to do anything silly, the kid is trying to mix a little joy in with the necessary solemnity required of one who's been trusted. Clinkle-dee-clink. Clinkle-dee-clink, clinkle-dee-clinkle-dee, clinkle-dee-clink. The kid is me. The man is my father. For an hour, the two of us are the Salvation Army. At dusk, as people start home from work, the real Salvation Army appears in proper uniforms, dark blue with red piping, carrying a flag. Salvation Army band as well, brass drum, trumpet, tambourine, French horn, trombone. I was allowed to ring the bell when they played Jingle Bells, and allowed to occasionally shout, "Put a nickel in the drum, put a nickel in the drum," between the carols. What I really wanted to do most of all was play the big drum, and I would have played the drum if they'd only asked. My father was not a Christian, at least not by the standard of the Salvation Army, the Baptist Church, or my mother. Oh, he went to church once in a while, Easter, Christmas. But he didn't have much use for the church crowd. Yet year after year, he took me along with him to ring the bell for this army of God. Sometimes I saw him quietly singing along with the hymns played by the band. He didn't sing in church. It surprised me to hear him sing here. I didn't realize he knew the words by heart. My father once told me if he was going to be a Christian, he'd probably join the Salvation Army. He did join the Salvation Army temporarily every year during the Christmas season as one of the local businessmen who volunteered to tend the kettles. But there was a deeper reason for his participation. Years later, after my father died, his sister told me that when the family home burned, leaving the family destitute, the Salvation Army came to the rescue. My father was helped by the Salvation Army to find his first job. His debt to them was large. He owed. My aunt said the family was so humiliated about their poverty they never talked about it, even among themselves. All the help they got in that awful time was from the Salvation Army. I finally understood why I was ringing that bell. Chinkle-dee-tink, chinkle-dee-tink, chinkle-dee-tinkle-dee-tinkle-dee-tink. It's a little Christmas story about charity from Robert Fulghum.
Well, from 1944, and it continues today. There are not that many traditions that are still out in our community that have lasted that long. The bell ringers are out now. I see them at the Hy-Vee and other places around town. So we are going to talk about, once again, this time of year is the Alternative Gifts International. So my lovely friend and next-door neighbor, Ingrid Anderson, provides this in our community. And it's a wonderful program. It gives you options to, give meaningful gifts to people who have so much that you don't really need anything. And we all know a few people like that, I hope. Yeah. And it's not like Heifer International. They provide services. Like, you can choose. There are local things, which include Access, Food at First, Good Neighbor, Habitat for Humanity of Central Iowa, the Bridge Home, and the Bethesda Food Pantry. Or there are 29 national and international causes, and it's broken down into, like, global hunger. There's one where you empower women farmers. Lunch and literacy, where you, this is a Hungarian issue where you give money towards that program. There are environmental ones, the protection of the snub-nosed monkeys in China.
Oh, or I like that.
Plant a sustainable tomorrow in Haiti. Now, that would be a big deal this year. They've had a terrible time. Seeds of Change, restoring indigenous lands. Then there are education ones, scholarships for students in Haiti once again. Ethiopia, they do literacy on wheels, where they have a 3-donkey mobile libraries or horse-powered libraries in various rural locations. There's some wonderful ones where educating young girls. Then there's health and well-being, medical relief for the displaced in Nigeria, Cameroon, and Syria. There's health care for students. There are, this is a kind of miracles through recycling, where they send recycled, like, walkers, wheelchairs, and things like that to Bolivia.
Good idea.
There's nutrition and education, eradicate poverty with Egyptian children, sewing, a way out of poverty for empowering women in India. These are just some of them. Empowering a girl through education in Thailand. Here's one in the Philippines, a safe place for exploited children. That is a big deal. Bikes for education and healthcare. That goes to Namibia, Tanzania, and Zambia. So there are so many different socially conscious. The last one I was healing art therapy for child soldiers in Colombia. I mean, you know, you read the news, and this stuff is really, it's just heart-rendering, appalling stories. And this is the time of year when we are trained by habit to reach out and deal with some of these issues. So, this is the alternative gift market. Ingrid can be reached at 515-441-2135. That's 515-441-2135. Or you can pick up the information at Weedsfield. They have the catalogs for the gift giving. And it's a simple way, actually, especially with COVID, it's really easy. You can do it all on the internet, and they will send out cards for you, the whole thing. But it's a very thoughtful, wonderful program. So, if you're stuck for gifts, think about the Alternative Giving International.
Yes, we are fortunate. Here we are in the Midwest. We are fortunate. And despite all the news about, all our Christmas gifts are stuck in the ocean off the coast of California. We have to worry about everything getting delivered on time. I think perhaps a little less stuff would not be a bad idea, and maybe we can think of doing something to help other people. I've done that before. Give and you can let people know that you can do it in their name too. So you let people know. Well, guess what?
I sent a bicycle to a boy in Namibia for you, right?
And what can they say? That was a bad idea? They want to change sizes?
Or
no.
I'm supporting the 3-donkey library. I mean, that's a wonderful creative gift. And, here's my bummer news. I actually went on the CDC website this morning and looked up. You can look it up by county, by state, by county. Story County, folks, in the last 2 months has almost doubled our death count by COVID. We were cruising along and only about 24 deaths for a long, long time. And now, all of a sudden, we're in the 50s. This stuff is still about in our community. Be careful.
Is that 24 in a week, in a month?
No, we'd had 24 deaths in Story County since the beginning of COVID.
Ah!
And now we are double.
Well, that was fast.
Yeah, it must be the Delta running around. I mean, we're not talking about it as much and we're not thinking about it, but it's still rampant and it is still unfortunate and it's a very sad thing. So be careful. Wear your masks.
Keep your distance. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
And be kind to one another.
And get your vaccination.
For goodness sakes, yes. We could do this. We can do this. We talked about soups today. Talking about warming your heart. Soups, yes. We talk about cream soups and beef soups and bean soups. All sorts of things happening. So, get your soup pot out. Make something warm for yourself for Christmas, for this week.
Yeah, and cook enough for a few days. Then you can spend the rest of your cooking time making cookies to give away.
Oh, making cookies. As it gets closer to Christmas, we'll get out our cookie recipes. We can get a little carried away, but we do like our cookies. Yes, yes. So, support your local farmers also, and support your local businesses when you do shop for Christmas and the holidays. Stay warm. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you on KHOI Community Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We are on the air Tuesday at noon. Well, we're live at noon. Can you believe it? You couldn't tell, but we're live here at noon every Tuesday. We are repeated 7 p.m. or anytime. Go to khoifm.org and you can find the archives there. You can also just poke the play button and find us there, ready to play. Listen on air.
Right, you don't need a radio. You can do it on the computer.
You can do it on your
anywhere.
Computer. Anywhere. Anywhere. We are available. We had music today by hammer dulcimer player Sam Rosetta. You heard Blackie's Rag, and we'll go out with Emil's Rag. How nice. Thank you for joining us today at our table. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We had excellent engineering, as usual, by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.